turn to the book of Luke. We're going to look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we'll look at verse number 6. You can remain seated when you find that. I'll just read it. We'll look at Luke chapter 6, verse number 6. We're here on the first Sunday of September already. Colder weather's coming. Days are getting shorter. We're at the men's retreat the other day. It's happening again. We thought it was the other thing. Crowd noise. There you go. Mr. Ben, just let me know if I need to take this off and use this. Stay where I'm at. All right. Won't be able to move around. That's okay. But we were just looking at the trees. The leaves were already changing colors. So summer is coming to a close. Winter's coming soon. Some people are excited. Some people are not so excited. But anyways, can't change it. Luke chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 6. And we'll read through a few verses and then we'll jump into what the Lord has for us this morning. Luke chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says here, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he," as Christ, "that he entered into the synagogue and taught. There was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. And he said, then said Jesus unto him, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking around upon them, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus." I want to think about this idea this morning of taking things for granted. Taking things for granted. Let's pray and then I'll explain it a bit more and we'll jump into what the Lord has for us this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the blessings, Lord. So many miracles, Lord, that you've done in our lives. So many things you've given to us. Lord, just the fact that we're sitting here in a beautiful church building, Lord, surrounded by other Christians, Lord, that in of itself is a huge blessing. And Lord, we thank you so much, and there's many things we don't take for granted, Lord, that we appreciate every day. But Lord, be with us as we look at your word this morning, Lord. If there's something we're not treating as valuable, we're not valuing as much or using as much as we should, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes, help us to understand it, and apply things to our lives. I pray all this in your name. Amen. Have you ever taken something for granted that's valuable? You know it's valuable. You know the huge impact it has on your life. You know how important this thing is. And yet, just in time, the fact that it's always there, you always have it, it's easy to take things for granted, isn't it? About a month ago, we had a pretty big event. Last time Pastor was gone, a tornado. Actually, a couple tornadoes touched down. So we were telling Pastor, I took him to the airport yesterday, and we were just talking about the week. And he's like, well, it should be a pretty low-key week for you this week. I think all the bases are covered. So don't say that, Pastor. Last time you left and you said that we had tornadoes hit, so... But praise the Lord, during the tornadoes, there wasn't too much damage. Some people had some damage to houses or vehicles or yard, but for the most part, there wasn't that much damage, praise the Lord. The biggest thing I think that most of us took away from that, or at least me, is how much I took electricity for granted. Some people were out for a few hours. Some people were out for almost a week. I think Ms. Caprice back there, they was like almost a week without electricity. I did not realize how much I relied on electricity. You just get up in the morning and you flip a light switch and, oh yeah, nothing happens. You go out to make coffee in the morning and your coffee maker doesn't work. So the one morning, I think it was by Wednesday morning, me and Bethany were like, all right, let's make some coffee so we can make it on the stove. We got the propane stove, so I went to make it. And then I remembered I'm a wuss. I need creamer in my coffee. And the refrigerator was down, so the creamer was bad. All over the place. Electricity, boy, what an impact it has on our lives. I just wanted to heat something up, you know, use all the microwaves down. Boy, how much I took electricity for granted. Boy, it made a big impact in my life. And after that whole thing was over, I just realized and appreciated all the more how happy I am that I have electricity in my life. It's easy to take things for granted. We had God's blessed us with a house. He's blessed us with a bathroom, a bed, a shower, and everything like that. And there were a bunch of men on Friday night that that took that for granted. And they went out and they set up a tent, and God's blessed them with a house and running water and a warm bed, and they slept in a tent instead. I took advantage of my house. I went home Friday night about midnight, and I wanted to praise the Lord for what He gave me, so I spent the night in my house. That's the reason I didn't stay in a tent overnight. But I think we can all agree, God's given us things, so many things, and it's so easy to take Him for granted. It's so easy to forget how important and how valuable something is to us. It's so easy to, maybe as much as we do value it, we know it's important, we maybe don't use it and make use of it as much as we should. It's easy to take things for granted. As I read this chapter, boy, the big thing I took away from this account was the Pharisees and the scribes, they just took for granted the miracle. Now think about this again as we read the passage. Think about this passage. Christ came into the synagogue. They were all there. There's a man with a withered hand. His hand had lost its life, its flexibility, its strength. He couldn't really do much with it. Some would say it probably had shrunk. Maybe, we don't know, maybe some commentators say maybe it never fully grew. He had this hand that was shriveled, his right hand. Now, we're just assuming that was his dominant hand. That's what almost people are. So the fact that the Bible points it out is his right hand, his dominant hand probably he couldn't use. And he came, and he couldn't do anything about it. And as we read the account, Christ tells him to stretch forth his hand, and his hand becomes just like anybody else's hand. He can move all the fingers. He's got strength in it. He can do things with it. He can accomplish it. He can do work with it. He can use that hand because Christ intervened. And what did the Pharisees see? Not that Christ did a miracle. They saw Christ worked on the Sabbath day. They completely took for granted the fact that a miracle happened, and they saw something else. Why in the world? How in the world? That's all I could think. How could they just take for granted and not even realize the what just happened? There was a miracle, and I thought about it. The truth is, they'd seen it before. This wasn't Christ's first miracle. Christ had traveled around for some time. He'd been in synagogues before. He had healed lepers. He had raised people with sick of the palsy. He had done. He had cast out people with demons. He had done plenty of miracles. So when they saw it, it was just another miracle. And they took Christ's miracle for granted. You know, as much as I will stand up here and condemn the Pharisees that you just saw God do a miracle and you took it for granted, you didn't even recognize the importance of it. Don't we do that with God's blessing in our lives as well? God does something in our lives, and maybe because it happens so often, we just, oh yeah, God did another miracle. We don't see the value and the importance of God doing something in our lives. We take things for granted. You know, it's easy to just kind of lose the value and the impact of when God does something in our lives. In Hebrews 12:5, God reminds us there to not despise the chastening of the Lord. That despise, it's just to treat lightly or to have little regard for it. Isn't it easy to just treat lightly the blessings God gives us or to have little regard for what God has done for us? It's easy to forget the importance and the value of it in our lives. So this morning, there's many things that we don't take for granted, that we appreciate, but there's some things we just, through the course of life, we take things for granted. So this morning, I want to look at a few things, a few blessings that God gives us, and I hope this morning is just a reminder to us to value the blessings of God. This morning, I want to look at a few things, get a renewed appreciation, get more attention maybe on something that we haven't been focusing on, maybe something we haven't been making use of as much. So I've got some good news and bad news this morning. The bad news is there's 10 blessings I want to look at, so we've got 10 points. The good news is I think they're all going to be short. So we'll jump into it and we'll see how it goes. We're there in Luke chapter 6. Let's look back at verse number 6 again. The first blessing that it's easy to take for granted, I think, is the blessing of God's presence. Look at verse 6 again. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. You know, if the verse stopped right there, that's an exciting thing. That Christ walked into a synagogue with a group of people worshiping God, studying His Word. Christ walked in and was there and taught.
people would have recognized him. There were times throughout Scripture, we know in the New Testament, that people flocked to him. They recognized the value of being in Christ's presence. There were times Christ couldn't even walk around because people were flocking to him, trying to touch him to get healing. Other times he went out in the wilderness and thousands of people followed him. They recognized the value and the importance of being in Christ's presence. But when Christ walked into the synagogue and began teaching, the Pharisees took his presence for granted. You know, I just thought about, boy, if only I could swap places with the Pharisees to be there. And, you know, my mind started running. I thought, you know, if only I could build a time machine and you and I, all of us, could jump in it and go back to this time, I think all of us would raise our hand and say, I would love to do that, to be back in the synagogue, to see God and to be in Christ's presence. What an amazing thing. And yet when we have the Holy Spirit with us, boy, that's easy to take for granted, isn't it? I understand we can't see Him physically like we would have seen Christ. I know it's different. But we have Christ's presence with us every day, every hour. The blessing God has given us is that His Holy Spirit's inside of us. He is always with us. What a blessing that Christ, I am in the presence of God every hour of every day. And it's so easy for me to forget that. So easy for me to forget the blessing of God being with me. The blessing number one that it's easy to take advantage of and forget about is God being with us. When we're fighting a battle and we feel like you're all alone, God gave us the Holy Spirit. He's with us. When we've got a victory and we're excited and, boy, just great things are happening and God's really working. Yeah, He's working and He's also there with you. When you're just going through your normal day and plodding along and it's not a good day, it's not a bad day, you're plodding along, God's there with you. What a blessing that God gave us His presence. Just a reminder, don't take that for granted. Don't forget about that blessing. Blessing number two. See, we're making progress. Only nine left. The blessing of God's work in our lives. Look at verse 6 again. It came to pass also on another Sabbath that He entered into the synagogue and taught. Christ was teaching them. He was influencing their lives. As we read later on, of course, we see Him healing the man with the withered hand. He was working in people's lives. He wasn't just a bystander. He wasn't just present with them. He was making an impact and influencing their lives. And we don't always see that, do we? It's easy to forget the fact that Christ is working, God is working in our lives, but we don't always see it. What did the Pharisees see? They saw something that wasn't going the way they thought it should go. And because that's where their focus was, things aren't going the way we think it should happen. Because their focus was there, they completely missed God's working in their lives. You know, we can do that too. When things don't go according to our plan. For a few years now, me and Bethley had been looking for a house. And we prayed that God would bless us with a house. And we looked and I, you know, tore this place. And, you know, nothing was working. Every door was shut. And, you know, I was thinking, God, why aren't you working? Well, a few months ago, God blessed us with a house. And I think it's the perfect one. And all the other times that I thought God's not working, I believe He was working to preserve us for this perfect one. We didn't see it, but He was working. You know, camp season rolls around, VBS, different ministries you're involved in. And when you pull up the forecast and it says rain 5 days in a row. Or you show up and we joke about the shipwreck theme a few years ago because it felt like everything was shipwrecked. And we're like, God, why aren't you doing anything? Just because it's not going the way we think it should doesn't mean God isn't working. God was working in this situation and they just didn't see it. Sometimes we forget God's working in our lives because it's not going the way we think God would be working. They thought, Christ, can't you heal on a different day? Can't you just have Him wake up in the morning and be healed? Can't you do it in a way that fits in our boundaries, how we think it should happen? But because it didn't fit their mold, they didn't see it as God doing something, God's work. They took it for granted. Christian, maybe we just need a reminder that God's working, whether we see it or not. And God's working things out to His glory. And it may not be the way we think it would happen. But if we just do what we're supposed to do and trust God, He is doing a work and we'll see what God does in the long run. The third blessing, it's easy to take for granted. The blessing of God's wisdom. Look at verse 8. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "But he knew their thoughts. And he said unto the man which had a withered hand," and we read on farther, what steps he took, what actions he took, the things he said, he did that because of their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. The blessing of God's wisdom, that God knows things that we don't know. James chapter 1, verse 5, I'll just read it. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." A blessing God has is his wisdom. Boy, it's easy to take that for granted, isn't it? You know, I take Google and I take YouTube for granted when it comes to wisdom. With buying the house and working on projects and throughout life, whenever I need to do something, if I can talk to somebody that knows how to do something, that's great. But more often than not, I just ask YouTube. Pull up YouTube tutorial on how to do this, or how to do this plumbing thing, how to fix a vehicle, whatever. And you look it up in the YouTube. There's somebody giving a tutorial, giving you wisdom on how to do such and such. But you know, sometimes I don't have my phone around. Maybe I don't have signal. I can't YouTube it, or I'm too lazy to go find it and search it. And so you figure it out as you go. And you know, normally when I will YouTube something or Google it or find instructions, it goes a whole lot better than if I just figure it out as I go, because I'm relying on that wisdom. And Christians, God's given us all the wisdom and knowledge we need. But so often, I'll just muscle through it and figure it out as I go instead of relying on God's wisdom. Years ago, Mr. Bobby probably doesn't even remember, when I was in teens, I remember him telling a story about somebody he knew, I think, down south, that he just had a habit of always praying and always asking God, "Lord, should I do such and such?" And I remember him saying he needed a pair of tennis shoes. And he went in, there was a pair of tennis shoes, and he said, "Lord, should I buy these shoes?" And God wouldn't give him peace about buying the shoes. So he went to another store, and they were a little cheaper. And "God, should I buy these shoes?" And he didn't have peace about buying the shoes. A few days later, he was somewhere, and the shoes were even cheaper. And God gave him peace, and he bought the shoes. A little thing, but he relied on God's wisdom. It's incredible the wisdom God has given to us, both by studying the Scripture, by talking to godly people, by simply praying, and, "Lord, would you give me peace? Would you guide me? Would you direct me on what I ought to do here?" God has given us the blessing of wisdom, and it's easy to just take it for granted and kind of forget about it and go on with our life without relying on God's wisdom. Christians, you need just a reminder that God's wisdom's there. I should rely on that more. The blessing of God's wisdom. Number four, the blessing of the Bible. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Blessings God's given us that it's easy to take for granted. The blessing of the Bible. Boy, that's an easy one for me to take for granted at times. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." This is what the Bible does. Do we use it as much as we should? You know, I love tools. I love getting new tools, then figuring out something I can use the tool for. I love going to Home Depot. You know, I go in for a box of screws, and I'll spend 20 minutes just walking, looking at tools. I don't even know what this tool is, but I want it. You know, tools are just, they're just neat. They're fun. You can envision all the things that I could do if I had this tool. Not too long ago, my Uncle Warren gave me a used table saw, a nice table saw that, you know, it's a table saw, a powerful tool. There's so many different things you can do with it. It's very versatile. If you look at any woodworker shop, almost everybody's using a table saw. There's tons of things you can do with tools. But that table saw is sitting in my basement. Not being used right now. It's not going to do anything without getting set up and used. what we just read, the Bible's a tool. Let's look back at Hebrews 4:12 again. With that in mind, that it's a tool, and it accomplishes things, and when we use it, it can be used to get things done and to make an impact. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. It's a power tool. Guys, that's even better. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible's a tool. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:16 again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I can use the Bible as a tool to help me grow in doctrine, to know what I believe. When a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door and knocks on my door and starts to try to convince me that what I've been taught is wrong and what they're teaching is right, when I run into people out and about and they're trying to sway you on doctrine, the Bible is a tool that will ground you in doctrine and show you this is what's true. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It can reprove and correct us when we're potentially making a big mistake. I'm going through my life and I'm trying to do the best I can, and I just go through life and I make a mistake here, and I maybe don't even realize it. But I come to church and pastor preaches from the Bible, or I pull out my Bible and my devotions, or I'm listening to something somewhere, and the Bible speaks to me and points out, hey, I ought not be doing that. It's reproving, it's correcting, and it's making an impact on my life to protect me from doing something I ought not be doing. It's a tool for instruction in righteousness. What do I do next for the Lord? Where's the next thing I should grow? What should I do for the Lord next? The Bible's the tool that instructs us. We use tools to accomplish things, but tools are of no good when they sit there. You know, there's lots of tools that I have at my house. There's lots of tools on my computer, software, that are great tools, but I'm just not used to it. I haven't learned how to use them that well. And I take them for granted. They're there, and I just don't use them as much as I should. And there's things I could be doing with those tools, but I don't use the tools. Are we taking the Bible for granted? What are the things God would love to do in our lives, and He's given us the Bible to accomplish those tasks, but we take it for granted? It's not as valuable to us. It's not as important. We're not giving as much attention to it as maybe we should. Christian, maybe God's just reminding you of the value of the Bible there in your hand. The blessing of the Bible. Number five, the blessing of prayer. You're there in Hebrews chapter 4. Look down a few verses later. The blessing of prayer. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. God's given us an open invitation. Come talk to me. You read throughout Scripture. The disciples asked Christ, teach us to pray. God is more than happy to teach us to pray. He wants us to pray. He wants us to come boldly to Him. It's a blessing that God's given us of prayer. Do we take it for granted? You know, the cell phone is it's a pretty remarkable invention. They've come a ways. They've come a long ways. When I got my first cell phone right after high school, remember when you had to pay for minutes? Maybe somebody still does. You send a text and it deducts half a minute. You receive a text and it deducts half a minute. If somebody's really a texter and they're texting you all the time, they're eating away your minutes. Boy, they've come a long way, haven't they? I remember when I first got my first cell phone, you hardly ever had cell signal. I know some of you still probably are that way, Pastor Todd. But you hardly have cell signal. But boy, they've come so far. If I need to get a hold of somebody, I don't give it a second thought. I pull out the device that's in my pocket, and I call them, and chances are the device in their pocket's going to ring, and I'm going to immediately talk to that person. I have access to talk to that person. Thinking about before cell phones, when I showed up at college, they had a payphone in the hallway. Nobody ever used it. They just never got rid of it. So a payphone, guys, you put a coin in it. So I just started thinking about, boy, at college, I'm so glad I don't have to stand there in the hallway. I can't sit down. There's no chair or anything. I'm so glad I don't have to stand there to call home, talk to somebody. And if I'm out and about and somebody has to get a hold of me, I'm glad they don't have to call that phone and hope somebody answers and hope that person's willing to run down and find me. I'm glad I have instant connection with somebody because of a cell phone. So you'd have thought I would regularly be calling home and connecting with people. My mother probably thought at least a couple times a week I would call because I had a cell phone and I could call her cell phone. But boy, it was easy to take that for granted. Even though I had that cell phone, I could pull out and call somebody. I didn't always call it and stay in contact with people as much as I should. You know, God's basically given us his personal cell number. We don't have to make our way to some phone booth. We don't have to just make our way to church on Sunday in order to talk to God. It's like we've got our cell phone that we can talk to him directly. And boy, it's easy to take it for granted. It's easy to not give the value and the importance to prayer as much as we should. Christian, do you value the blessing God gave you of the blessing of prayer? Maybe this morning it's just a reminder to value prayer again. Number six, we're halfway through, the blessing of cleansing. Look back a few verses. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll look at verse 14. The blessing of cleansing. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Another blessing God's given to us is the blessing of cleansing. The blessing of cleansing when we sin. You know, we had a great time at the Men and Boys camp out this Friday and Saturday. Had some good food, had some good fellowship, had some fun games too. Played tackle football for the first time in a couple years. So not me, of course, but if you see some of the men kind of limping around, that's probably why. Tackle football, hot and sweaty, had a good time. Took a 30-minute hike one way, had a campfire, enjoyed it. Took a 30-minute hike back, had an obstacle course that was fun, but it was fairly intense. It was a great time, but boy, doing all those things, by the end of the night, we had some sweaty, smelly guys there. We had a bunch of guys that were in need of cleansing. Now, most guys went, got in their tent. I went home to a house that had a shower. Now, I had the choice. I was sweaty, filthy, smelly, and I had the option to get clean. But I had to choose to use it. Now, these guys in a tent, they didn't have a choice. There wasn't running water. There was an outhouse. There was no shower. There was no getting clean. But I had the choice. And I could have gone back the next morning just as filthy as they were, just as filthy as when I showed up to my house, or I could take advantage of the fact there was a shower there and be clean. Christians, which I did, by the way. Christians, when we go through life, we run into junk by living in the world. There are times that we stumble, we fall, we sin, we're tempted, we think about things we shouldn't, we do things, we lose our cool, we get dirty. And God's given us the opportunity of cleansing. He says, let us come boldly, therefore, into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. And God's willing to cleanse us and keep that relationship with him open. Christians, it's like living there in the house with the shower that we can be clean. But do we take advantage of it as much as we should? You know, so often because we know it's there, we know we can come back to it whenever we need, it's easy to take that for granted. Christian, God's given us the blessing of having a clean conscience, of having a clean account between us and him. We've got Lord's Supper tonight where we're going to examine ourselves, and that's one of the blessings God's given us, one of the tools, is to keep our relationship with him clean. God's given us that blessing. Are we taking advantage of it, or are we taking for granted the blessing God gave us of cleansing? Christian, maybe today's a reminder to stay clean with God. To go to Him boldly for mercy, and He'll give it to us. The blessing of cleansing. A few more. The blessing of the church. Turn over a few chapters to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll look at the blessing of the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. He's talking to the church. If you can consider one another, provoke, help each other unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's given us the church to provoke one another to love and to good works, to exhort one another. The blessing of the church. I'll just read it. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 with me, if you would. We'll be there a little bit later. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read a bit more about the church and the blessing of the church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Who did He give it to? To the church. Look at verse 12. He gave these things for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the foreknowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He's given us the church for our spiritual growth, to perfect the saints. Look back through that list in Ephesians 4 again. He gave us the church. He gave us these positions, these offices, to perfect or to grow the saints. For the work of the ministry, He's given us the church so that we can accomplish these ministries, so we can accomplish things together for Him. For the edifying, to encourage and to build up the church. Middle of 13. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's given us the church to grow our knowledge of Christ, to grow more like Him. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed about with every wind of doctrine. He's given us the church to ground us. There's so many blessings by the church. And boy, especially when you're born and raised in a church. There's hardly a Sunday that you're not in church. You grew up in the nursery and you come all the way through. It's easy to take the church for granted. It's just always there. It's just a church. If God forbid something happened to this church, there's a million more around the corner. It's easy to take your church for granted. But God's given the church, and God placed us in our church for a reason. It's a blessing. And He uses the church in our lives, and He uses the church in the community, and He uses us to minister and help other people in the church. The blessing of the church, are we valuing it? Boy, the church is made up of people. The church is made up of things that bother us, that irritate us, things that maybe don't go our way, maybe filled with carpet that we don't like, or wallpaper. Wallpaper that you really don't like. There's things in the church that it's easy to get focused on that and take for granted the blessings of the church. One of the blessings that's easy to take advantage of is the church, but it's something God's given to us. Blessing number 8, the blessing of spiritual gifts. You're there in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe. Let's look at verse number 8. The blessing of spiritual gifts. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave us gifts. Drop down to verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave gifts to people with different talents and different skills. And to some, he gave them gifts so they could be pastors. And others, he gave different gifts so that they could be an evangelist. And to others, he gave gifts to be a teacher. And as you read in Romans, a few other passages where he talks about the church as a body, every member has a different part. Every member has a different role. Every member has a different skill set. Every member has gifts that he's given us to use for his glory. Are we taking those gifts for granted? Or are we recognizing the value and the importance of the gifts God's given us and using them? A talent is an amazing gift, and it's easy to take for granted. You know, every year, if you follow sports, you hear about extremely talented athletes coming up through. Some of them are five-star recruits out of high school, and you just look at them as a high schooler, and they've got incredible talent and skill, and college players coming up, and rookies in basketball and football and all these other sports, rookies coming in, and they're so talented, and you just wonder, what in the world are they going to be able to do with all this talent? And professional athletes normally combine this great talent with a ton of hard work, and they put it together, and they're incredible athletes. But I always wonder, out of all these guys that chose to pursue these sports, and ladies, all these athletes that are talented and pursue these sports, I wonder how many other people were talented in that sport that chose to do something else instead of use that talent for the sport. For every Tom Brady or Michael Jordan or whoever you read about that's one of the best superstars ever in their sport, I wonder how many guys could have become that but chose not to use that talent for their sport and did something else with it. You know what we lost out when athletes didn't use those talents for their sport? We lost out on watching a few athletes. Not that big of a deal. But you know what happens when God gives Christians a gift and a talent to use for his glory and we choose not to use that talent? We take it for granted. God's given us a skill that we don't use for him. What do we miss out there? Who knows? Maybe souls that would have been saved, but we didn't use the talent for the Lord. Maybe a Christian that's ready to quit and ends up quitting out of depression and discouragement and quitting the church, that if a church member would have used their talent, they could have encouraged that person. God's given us talents. And when we don't use them for him, what are we missing out on? You know, some people are just natural teachers. God's given them a talent to teach and to explain and to help people understand something and to communicate information and wisdom. Some people are just gifted people for working with children. They're talented with getting kids to pay attention and listen and not just run around and play with toys. Some people are talented and gifted when it comes to technology and getting microphones to work and stuff like that. God's given us talent. Some people are musical. Some people are gifted with skill with mechanics and stuff like that. We're praying God will give us a radio station. Some people are gifted with a voice for radio. Some people are gifted with a face for radio. But God gives talents. God gives talents and gifts to accomplish what he needs them to do. Christian, I ask you, I wonder what your talent is. I wonder what your gift is. And are you using it for God? Because if you're not using your gift for God, you're taking that gift, you're taking that talent that God gave you for granted. You're not valuing it as much as you should. And somebody somewhere, somehow is going to miss out on the blessing God wants to give them. The blessing of gifts and talents. Are we taking them for granted? Or are we using them for the Lord? Maybe we need to have a reminder this morning of what talent has God given me? What does he want me to do? Blessing number 9. The blessing of a commission. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. I'll read Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Very common verse that we know, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them all, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We know these verses. He's giving them a job. He's giving them a commission. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, he's talking to his disciples here, and he says, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." You know, another blessing God's given us is a job. And he's given us a job of reaching the lost. Of as freely as we've been given Scripture, the gospel, teaching and training biblically, as freely as we've been given it, we need to give it back out. That's our job to do. God's given us a job. Have you ever been somewhere and people are busy and you just don't have a job? We've got work days here at church, and over the years I've been to plenty of different work days, and most of them there's something I can jump in to do. But, you know, occasionally there's something technical going on that people just need to... I didn't know what was going on, and I need to step back and just let the people that knew what they were doing do something. And, you know, it's kind of awkward to just stand there. I don't have anything to do. I'm just standing here watching. I don't have a job. I'm kind of useless. Kind of pointless for me to be here. I'm not accomplishing anything. That's a horrible feeling when you don't have a job. God's given every one of us a job. And you know, it's easy for me to look at that job as a chore, an assignment. But it's a blessing that you've got something to do. You've got a job. You've got a mission. You've got a purpose. The blessing of the commission, the blessing of the job that God's given us. We've got something to do with our lives. Are we doing it? Or are we taking it for granted and taking this job and not putting as much value to it as we should? The blessing of a job. One more blessing I want to look at this morning. Go back to Luke chapter 6. We'll look at verse number 10. The last blessing I want to look at this morning. The blessing of healing. The blessing of healing. We're back in our text with this account where Christ went into the synagogue. He taught. The man with the withered hand came up, and we pick up the verse in verse 10. "And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other." You know, the Pharisees looked at that and they took that miracle for granted. They looked at the fact it was on the Sabbath. They looked at the fact it was Christ, and they didn't believe he was Christ, but they were worried that this miracle would make other people believe. That's what they saw. But you know who did not take this for granted? The man that put out his hand, and his hand was healed. I am sure he didn't take that for granted. I'm sure for the rest of his life, he valued that moment. It was important to him. Why? Because he was healed. You know, God gives the blessing of healing. This man went to church that morning with a shriveled up hand that he couldn't use. This man went to church that morning with an uncurable problem that no doctor could fix, no man could fix, nobody could help him. He went to church that morning, most likely having moved on, had no hope, just was learning to deal with it, life, with that problem. But he met Christ and he went home that day completely different. This morning, there may be somebody who came who has never been healed, who's never been saved. You've never received Christ. And you are like this man. This man walked in with a withered hand, something they couldn't fix. You know, all of us are born into sin, and we have this problem that nobody can fix. Romans 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." He's referring back to Adam and the fact that Adam sinned, and every human being since then has sinned. And because of that sin, every human being from the very beginning until today has this disease of death, spiritual death, that one day they're going to die and go to hell because of their sin. And maybe there's somebody that came in this morning that, like that man walked in with a withered hand, you're walking in with a problem. Sin that's never been dealt with before God. That sin can't get healed by anybody else. This man couldn't fix his hand. We cannot fix the sin problem in our life. That man walked in, maybe trying to do whatever he could. Maybe trying to do spiritual things. Maybe trying to do whatever he could that would maybe one day help him, but nothing had worked. But he met Christ. And Christ was the only way this withered hand was healed. If you're here today and you've not accepted Christ, you've not gone to Christ and confessed your sin and gotten salvation from that sin, you're like this man with the withered hand, and all it takes is a meeting with Christ to bring healing. The biggest blessing we could look at this morning is this blessing of healing. Many people in here, if not most, have gotten this healing. At one point in your life, you were like this man. You were hopeless. There was nothing you could do, but you met Christ and Christ healed you. If there's somebody here today that has not been to Christ to deal with their sin, the biggest blessing you could ever get in your life is getting this blessing, the blessing of healing this morning. When Christ heals a sinner, he does the healing. The sinner didn't have to do anything. Christ asked the sinner, or Christ asked the man with the withered hand. He simply said, "Stretch forth your hand." Now, people had seen Christ heal enough. They knew what he was planning to do. It wasn't a surprise when the man stretched his hand out and Christ healed him. Everybody knew when Christ told the man, "Stretch forth your hand," that was an invitation. If you put out your hand, if you submit to me, if you obey me, I will heal you. And that man had the choice. Am I going to stand here and reject Christ and do it my own way and deal with my withered hand in my way? Or am I going to submit to Christ, do what he said, and stretch forth my hand? And when he chose to do that, when he accepted Christ's offer, Christ did the healing. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that your sin's been dealt with, God's given you that same offer today. He's not asking you to do something special this morning to get healing. He's asking you to put your hand forward, basically, to respond to him. And when we respond to Christ and accept and submit to him, he does the healing. If you've not been saved, in just a moment, we're going to do what we call an altar call. Everybody's heads are going to be bowed, eyes are going to be closed. And if I'm just going to ask you to come down. Nobody will be looking around. You talk to Pastor Todd Hendricks, and he'll put you in contact with somebody that can explain to you from the Scripture how you can accept Christ. And just like this man went to church that morning with a withered hand and walked home healed, you may have come to church this morning with a sin problem, but you can leave clean. The biggest blessing you could receive is the blessing of healing. Christian, what about it though? God's given us tons of blessings. We looked at 10. There's hundreds more we could look at. He's given us blessings. Are we valuing them? Or are we taking them for granted? Are we giving as much attention and focus and taking advantage of these blessings as much as we should? Or are we treating them lightly and not regarding them as much as we should? Maybe this morning God spoke to you about a certain blessing he wants to remind you about that you can give your focus and your attention to. Let us all be reminded this morning of the blessings God has given us. You bow your heads and close your eyes.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.